We begin asking you to take your Bibles tonight and open them up, if you will, to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. And when you find that 15th chapter, be looking for the 9th verse. And some of you have been with us every single Sunday evening since April the 8th, the 7th of a year ago. And we began preaching at that time on the spiritual disciplines that are found in the Word of God. Well, here we are coming up on the 1st of April, and tonight we're going to finish this series of 27 messages on the spiritual disciplines. And all of these came from 2 Peter 3:18, which reminds us, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Friends, it's God's desire that you and I would grow up into Christ. And I pray that that's your heart's desire as well. If you have your Bibles open to the 15th chapter of John in verse 9, if you would rise to your feet as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. And Jesus is speaking here, and He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, as we are here tonight in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, Lord, we come to you tonight as we come to the end of this series of messages on the spiritual disciplines. Father, we give thanks for the journey that you have led us on over this past year. Father, by being here in the 15th chapter of John, reminds us, Lord, that we need to be connected to you. Lord, for if we just look back at verse 5, we would be reminded that, Father, without you, we can do nothing. Which also means that in you we can do everything, for there is nothing impossible for Christ, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, help us to be a people who understand the importance of your word, to understand the importance of your promises, and help us to live in your love by doing what your word tells us to do here, obeying that which you have said. Lord, that which you have said to us, would you make it a part of us? Would you take and implant your word in our heart, that from the heart we might speak, we might do, and we might think, so that, Lord, in all things we would be accomplishing that which your word says unto us, in all things give thanks, and always be an encouragement one to another. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. As I said, for almost a year we've been speaking on the spiritual disciplines. And tonight, as I mentioned already, we come to the last message. And as we close our study of what God's Word teaches on the spiritual disciplines, I want to share with you this, and I hope that you'll either write it down or keep it in your heart. But the pathway to spiritual growth and maturity according to the Word of God is the implementation in our lives of the spiritual disciplines that Almighty God has given unto us. Now God has taken, as we started this and we spoke about this, and He's divided the spiritual disciplines in this manner. He has given us 5 inward spiritual disciplines in order to enable us to create a divine center in our heart, and they are worship and prayer and Bible study, meditation and fasting. And I pray that you have made the effort to memorize them and put them into practice in your life. If I was to ask you the question, and I won't make you raise your hand, But how many of you might say, I'm reading my Bible more than I have been in quite some time? And this is an important thing. How about this? I'm praying more according to the Word of God than I ever have. Or I'm meditating more on that which I'm hearing, that which I'm reading. And I've even tried fasting, going a little bit of time without some food, because I wanted to draw closer to God. You see, these five inward spiritual disciplines were given unto us because God wants us to have a divine center in our lives, and it's called our heart. And Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that we act. It's out of the abundance of the heart that we speak. Every motive in our life stems from what we hold in our heart. And we've already shared with you many times before that Jeremiah said about the human heart, the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? But God answers that, and he says, I know it, and I know what your heart needs. And what your heart needs is to employ these five spiritual disciplines, because the more you employ them in your life, the more you are going to look like Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? What would that mean to you? What would that look like in your life? And don't think that by mentioning these things that you somehow haven't arrived yet, because none of us have arrived. Philippians 1:6 tells us that he who began a good work in us will see it to completion upon the day of Christ. And so God is working in us, and he's working on us, and he wants us to be all. Well, it's kind of a phrase from the army, isn't it? Be all you can be. But friends, aren't we in the Lord's army? And so he wants us to grow, and he wants us to be all that we can be. See, he wants us to know how to handle the storms of life. And so he's given us these five disciplines. And the more we employ them, the more we meditate upon them, the more we act on them, the better off we're going to be. And the better we will be. A better witness. A better husband. A better father. A better employee. A better everything. Because you see, God just makes things better, doesn't he? He'll take us the way we are, but he never intended to leave us there. And that's why he's given us these five things to help us grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And then, if these five inward disciplines will be lived out in our lives, they'll lead to four outward disciplines that'll make our lives so much easier. The discipline of submission and solitude and simplicity and service. And these four outward disciplines should in turn lead us to engage in the corporate disciplines that we've talked about over the last several weeks of confession, worship, and tonight we'll close with celebration as it is taught in the Word of God. How many of you know this, that celebration is at the heart of the way of Christ? I'll let that sink in for a moment. Celebration is at the heart of the way of Christ, and God wants us to see, and he wants us to understand from his holy word all of these things. So allow me to encourage you. You won't have time. Just write down these verse references. Make them a part of your study in the day ahead. So get your pens out. You know, you need to do this. You're doing it because it's going to be, well, I'm a doctor. We'll take it from some medicine from the doctor, amen? And so Luke 2 and 10. Listen to what God says in his word, because celebration is at the heart of the way of Christ. And in Luke 2:10 we read, and the angel said unto them, fear not. How many of you fear today? All the stuff that's going on in our world, how many of you have some fears? How many of you suffer from anxiety at times? Things get away from you. You don't. But God says, fear not. And I'm telling you, in the days in which we live, we need to hear those words, fear not. As I told you this morning, God is in control. And Jesus is coming soon. And the angel said unto them, fear not. He's speaking to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This verse describes for us that our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world on a high note of jubilation. And he left our world bequeathing his joy to his disciples here. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Friend, do you know the joy of Jesus in your heart tonight? Do you know the joy of Jesus in your heart? You know, when I was a little kid, we used to sing, I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. And it just keeps on going, down in my heart to stay. You know, I look at a lot of Christians today. How many of you would say, as you look around at the world of Christians today, how many of you would agree with this, that there's a lot of joyless Christians today? Amen? Why is that? It's because they're not living out the Word of God in their lives. Listen, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples here and he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full, we need to understand that celebration, joy, is at the heart of the way of Christ. Augustus of Hippo said, and I quote, the Christian should be an hallelujah from head to foot. Man, what worries do we have? We don't got anything to worry about. Jesus is in control. Jesus can handle my problems. No matter what I face, I know this one thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I'm laying in a hospital bed someday, I know that I'll be able to lay there in Christ because he'll have it under control. No matter what I face, he has it under control. I'm standing on the promises of God because I'm exercising the promises of God. What God has said in his word, I believe and I will act upon that. And friend, that gives me great joy. I don't have a thing to worry about because you see, Jesus is in control. And so, a lot of times the reason we have all this anxiety and all this stuff is very simply, we haven't put Jesus in his rightful place in the center of our heart, and we're not living out of our divine center. Now I want you to know how to have joy. Look at verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments. Well, that's kind of reminiscent of something we talk about all the time around here. James said, be a doer of the word. Friend, how can you keep God's commandment if you don't do what he says? And so, listen to me, when the poor receive the good news, when the captives are released, when the blind receive their sight, and the oppressed are liberated, who can withhold the shout of hallelujah, amen? God can do anything. You know, in the Old Testament, all the social stipulations of the year of Jubilee, and if you've never read the Old Testament, you need to, because then you'll discover what I'm sharing with you tonight, canceling all the debts, releasing all of the slaves, planting no crops, returning property to the original owner was a celebration of the gracious promises of God. God is a wonderful blessing when you're standing on his promises. Leviticus 25:21. Listen to what God said. I will command my blessing upon you. Now, friend, if God will command his blessing upon you, you're going to have some joy. Amen? Freedom from anxiety and care are cause for celebration. And that's why God has said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Celebration brings joy to life, and joy makes us strong. Scripture, Holy Scripture, God's Word, Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We cannot and will not continue long in anything if we don't derive some type of joy from it. You know, that got me to thinking this past week. You know, women endure childbirth because the joy of motherhood lies on the other side. Parents hold steady through the teen years. Do you know when my kids were teenagers? When they hit 13, I became the dumbest person on earth. No, I'm serious. Back in New York, the big word back then was duh. Everything I said was duh. I became known as duh dad many a time. But we endured. And when my children hit 20, they became human once again. And I discovered it in those 7 years. I must have got awful smart because the duh got left off and it's dad help. So celebration is the way of Christ. Celebration is central to all the spiritual disciplines that we have talked about. When God commanded us, 2 Peter 3:18, and I've got to tell you, I have enjoyed this journey with God. I never would have believed if somebody had said, well, you know, if God had even said, Don, you're going to sit down and I'm going to have you write 27 messages and I'm going to give you 27 messages from one verse. Where this has all led us. But you see, God said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. When He said that, do you realize He was giving us cause to be joyful? Friend, we don't grow alone, do we? We go in proportion to the amount of time we allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines are like any other thing in church. They'll become dull and boring. But every one of these disciplines should be met with a joyful spirit of festivity and thanksgiving. Think about this. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came down to this earth. He lived, He died, and He rose again so that we might have the abundant life that He has promised us. In the way of the abundant life that Christ promised us is through the implementation of these spiritual disciplines in our lives. How many of you know this, that joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22, is love, joy, peace, patience. Where is joy? Right there. Joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Why must we have joy? Because it produces energy. It makes us strong. It's the oil that keeps the motor running. And family and friends, the most joyful people in all the world should be God's people. We are saved by Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God ordained that we should walk in. This world is not our home. You know, one of the reasons we're not as joyful as we ought to be is we're trying to get too settled, too comfortable right down here. Friend, this world isn't our home. We're just a passing through. There's a home up in glory. He's a working on a room for us. Up in heaven there are many mansions, and if it were not so, He says, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. I'm not looking for a place down here. I'm looking at my place in glory, because that's where I'm going to reside. And oh, I can just imagine what He's prepared for me. I can imagine it. I can't fathom it. It's beyond my imagination. But there's a home in glory. You know, my mom and I, back in the day when I first got my driver's license, we lived on the farm, and it was up on top of a hill, and there was a little four lane about 2 miles long that led to the high school. And my mama, she had a lead foot, and we used to like to race coming home. So we'd get out on the four lane side by side, and we'd see who could make it to the turn on the Geary Levant Road first, because it was a left-hand turn. And down that highway we'd go, just as fast as we could go. And every now and again, I'd beat her. But you know something? My mama won the race. She got called home in 2013. She got an early rapture. She's home in heaven. But I know this, one day I'm going to catch her, and I can just hear her now. I knew I'd beat you. Well, God had more work for me to do. But this world isn't our home. Don't get comfortable here. You be looking for heaven, because when you're looking for heaven, friend, anything that happens down here, you know what Paul said about it, these temporary trials are not worthy to be compared to the glories that shall be revealed in us. There's a place of glory, and we're being made more glorious every single day in Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in us. Do you realize God began a good work in you? You say, well, when did He begin it? He began that good work in you when you came and you knelt at whatever age it was and you submitted yourself and you repented of your sin. You placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, you're planning on one day when you leave here, He's taking you home. But friend, He is working on you today. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the purpose of eternal life is seen in Ephesians 2 and 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You want to know why heaven's going to last for all eternity? Because God's got so much to show us. He's got so much to show us. You know, my mama, she liked to, whenever we were on the road showing horses, she liked to leave a day ahead of time so she could get there. And what my mama liked to do is she liked to get around the horse show grounds and find all the good tack shops and all the sellers of everything, find the best restaurant, so that when I pulled in with a load of horses and get out of the truck, and she said, now hurry and get everything unloaded because I want to take you here and I want to take you there, and I got to show you all this stuff. And my mama was an excitable person. She had joy in her heart. She couldn't wait to show me things. Well, friend, that's how God's looking down on us. He can't wait to show us what He's done, the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus in the ages to come. It's going to take an eternity for God to show us all that He's done for us. How can we not be a joyful people? As we close out our study on the spiritual disciplines, let's talk just for a moment tonight about the path to joy. In our spiritual lives, there's only one thing that's going to produce genuine joy. Do you know what it is? Well, there's an old song we sing, Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. There's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, some of them old hymns, boy, they sure got a message, don't they? He could sing them from now until Jesus comes in every age, and they point the way how to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Jesus Himself told us there is no blessedness equal to the blessedness of obedience. I want you to look with me at verse 10 here again. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain where? Isn't that special? Friends, Jesus wants His joy remaining in you. And if you're one of these Christians, you know there's two kinds of Christians. Some makes you happy when they come. Others makes you happy when they go. We need to be certain we're in the first group, amen? And so you see, the only way to be in the first group is to do what God has said. James 1:22, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Oh, we've quoted that forever around here, deceiving your own selves. And isn't it interesting, as we spoke a little bit this morning, as I heard in Sunday school class from one of my students, that we'll seek to justify ourselves in our sin and then turn around and look at somebody else and condemn them for doing the same thing that we've done. They're wrong for doing it, but we're okay because we did it, because we have a whole list of excuses. Friends, we need to obey. There's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Luke 11:27 and 28 states, and it came to pass, as He spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto Him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the breast which thou hast sucked. But He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Do you hear the word of God? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The only way you can have faith in God is if you hear the word of God. Blessed are they that hear it and keep it, Jesus said. You see, every time you come into this building that God has blessed us with, every Sunday school class that you attend, every time all those Sunday school teachers teach, God is giving you an opportunity to hear the word. And he wants you to keep it. Now, if somebody gave you $100, you're going to keep it. They said, it's yours, do whatever you want with it. Or you have some toy at home that you really like, you keep it. You make sure you manage it, you oil it up, you do whatever. You keep it. Well, God wants us to do that with his word. He wants us to keep it where? In our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, thy word have I hid in my heart. I keep it because I want to do it. I want to employ it. Without obedience, there is no joy, is there? Without obedience, joy is hollow and it's artificial. And you know, isn't it interesting that we're living in a world today where there are a lot of people who are running around in some of these churches? It's a downright scary thing. They'll jump for joy on Sunday, but on Monday they can't jump at all. All they have is artificial joy. There is no true joy. There is no lasting joy. Friend, it don't matter what's going on in life. If you got joy in your heart in Jesus, you can be in the deepest depths or on the highest mountaintop, but no matter what you're going through, you got joy. And I can tell you in 2013, as we stood around Mama's hospital bed and she was on her way out this world, we began to praise and we began to give thanks and we began to sing and we began to have great joy. We had joy because we didn't lose Mama. She's home in heaven. We had joy because God had been so faithful. We had joy because I'm here today because I had a Mama. Isn't God wonderful? Oh, thank God. And I tell you, that was a terrible time. Our hearts grieve just like many hearts grieve. But there is a God up in heaven, and God in heaven loves us. And he says, keep my word in your heart. Today we have too much false obedience or false joy, excuse me. Our joy is dependent on our circumstances and so many other things. Friend, if we depend on our circumstances, we're going to be the most joyless toads there are. Circumstances are up and down. If we depend on our emotions, we're going to be joyless because our emotions are everywhere. Matter of fact, our emotions are liars. Don't believe them. They change every moment, don't they? We're not talking about momentary happiness here that lasts for just a short while. We're talking about an enduring joy that lasts for an eternity, a joy that no matter what's going on in your life, you know that God is in control and Jesus is coming soon. And so joy is the end result of the spiritual disciplines functioning in our lives. And I hope, oh how I hope that you'll employ them, that you'll think about them. God brings about the transformation when we are growing in grace and knowledge, as Peter encouraged, through these disciplines. And family and friends, you can mark it down. You nor I will know genuine joy until there has been a transforming work within us. You see, God's not interested in home improvement. God's interested in transformation. And every one of us, in just this last year, let's just say for a moment in the last year that this is where you were. You're just right here, and this represents your walk of faith in the last year. I hope that some of you are moved just a little bit closer. You're walking a little bit farther with Jesus. God forbid if you're still back here, not growing, not going anywhere. Because you see, God transforms us day by day. And we ought to be looking and asking and seeking God to transform us day by day. The path to genuine joy is obedience. Paul calls us in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Of all the people in all the world, we ought to be the most positive people there are. We need to be a positive influence in a negative world because, friends, we have Jesus and the world doesn't. And so, we're reminded that we shouldn't have anxiety about anything. I ask you a personal question tonight. I'm going to ask it anyway, but just say yes. It'll make me feel good. Just say yes. Thank you. It'll be a rhetorical question, so you don't have to answer it, but I do want you to think about it. How many of you would say, you know, I got some anxiety, I suffer from some issues. Sometimes things just get me down. And I want to give you an antidote to that. I want to give you one of God's promises. And you need to employ it. And if you'll employ it, guess what? You'll no longer suffer from anxiety. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. See, God knows we have some issues in life. Amen? And so he says, you bring them all over here. And then he says, if you bring them over here and you'll give them to me, the peace of God that passes, that'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that passes all understanding, he'll give it to us. Philippians 4:6-7. How many of you are prone to negative thinking? Now you can raise your hand. Nobody wants to admit that tonight in church. How many of you go around complaining? Grumbling about everything. We have one honest person in the back. I thank you, sir. Friends, we're never going to have the spirit of carefree celebration until we have the joy of Jesus in our heart. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's a promise that God wants you to have. The peace of God. Don't ask me to explain it because, see, God says it passes all understanding, so I can't explain it. But I know I have it. Do you? It keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Listen, the spirit of carefree celebration, which is a part of the abundant life that Jesus promised us, will not be in us until we are careful for nothing. Stop worrying about things. That's basically what God's telling us. The phrase in the original Greek meant literally to be full of care for nothing. We're called to be carefree. And until you trust Christ, and until you employ these disciplines, and until you do what God has called you to do in His Word, Jesus says right here, these things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. Do you have His joy in you tonight? That your joy, our joy, might be full. We're called to be carefree. We're called not to worry. We're called to walk and to keep His commandments. This is why the Jubilee was such a crucial celebration in the Old Testament. No one would dare celebrate the Jubilee unless they had a deep, deep and abiding trust in God's ability to provide for all their needs. Paul put it this way, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now you in church, how many of you would say that you spend some of your days worrying about your needs. Friend, we don't need to worry when we got Jesus. Jesus knows what we need. He knows when we need it, and He'll supply all that we need. See, when we worry about our needs, we'll spend a whole lot of time running around fretting with anxiety, won't we? When all we need to do is just trust Jesus to meet all of our needs. Peter put it this way, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking here. What we're talking about is the decision that we have made from the heart to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to set the mind on the higher things of life. And this is an act of our will. It is a consciously chosen way of thinking and living, and when we choose this way, the healing and redemption in Christ will break into the inner recesses of our lives and relationships, and in the inevitable result is going to be joy upon joy. Because Jesus says here, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Well, now we've come to the end of our study on the spiritual disciplines. And we now must take the spiritual disciplines that God has taught us, and we must implement them in our lives. And hopefully we've seen how meditation heightens our spiritual sensitivity, which in turn leads us into prayer. Prayer will lead us into fasting as an accompanying means that will lead us to Bible study, which gives way to discernment about ourselves and the world in which we live. Through simplicity, we can live with others in integrity. Solitude allows us to be genuinely present to people when we are with them. Through submission, we live with others without manipulation. And through service, we are a blessing to them. Confession frees us from ourselves, and it releases us to worship just the way Jesus said we're to worship, in spirit and in truth. And when all of the disciplines are freely exercised in the context of our lives, they bring forth the wonderful doxology of celebration. God is good, joy is full, because He is with us wherever we go. Amen. The pure, unbridled joy of Jesus living in our hearts will make us full indeed. It's my prayer as we close that this study on the spiritual disciplines has encouraged you to go ahead, to desire to obey where we started, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore, till God calls you home. Friend, as long as we're on this earth, every day, we ought to be going up to higher ground. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Lord, we just pray that we have gained much, that we have learned much through this year-long study. Father, we pray for one another tonight that each one of us would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To whom be the glory both now and forever. Lord, we pray tonight as we live in this negative world that we would do the things that your word has encouraged us to do, that we would begin to live our lives from the divine center that you want to create in us. Lord, we pray that we'll put these five inward spiritual disciplines to work in our lives, that we will submit ourselves unto your will more and more. Lord, I'm reminded that Jesus' disciples came and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, pray after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, your name is high and lifted up, and you are holy beyond holy. And Lord, we just pray today, grant unto us the ability through the power of your Holy Spirit working in us. Help us to trust and obey that your will be done here in our lives so that we can accomplish your will here on earth. Lord, we just pray that you will help us to walk worthy of the so great calling that you have given us in Christ Jesus, that each one of us might come to know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of your love for us. And Lord, through the employment of these disciplines, inwardly and outwardly and corporately, that you will not only transform our lives, but our relationships, and that you will begin to do a transforming work in this church. Lord God, would you do for us that which only you can do? And Lord, we know how you put it. You can do abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And so, Lord, help us to do what the old song said, just to trust and obey. Because there's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, may you make your joy in each one of us full and complete, and help us to grow day by day. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.